You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Danny Wexelman with Jane Lee, who covers the Athletics for MLB.com. Jane, 2 weeks until pitchers and catchers report. How does that make you feel?
You know, I don't know. I was just thinking about that yesterday, thinking, okay, I have this weekend, and then I'm like, oh, I have just one more weekend before spring training.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of about that time where I think everyone's getting a little antsy, including the writers. You know, it's go, 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 and travel all over the place during the season. And as much as it is nice to have a break from that, you do kind of, you know, get ready to start back up again. So I'm sure once it starts, though, I'll be thinking, oh, I wish I had another week, another weekend, but it's time.
All right. Okay. We're ready to rock and roll. And we've got some news to talk about this week, which is great. We have been exhausting the topic of a left-handed reliever. And after naming a few guys last week on the free agent list, clearly Billy Beane did not listen to the podcast and take our advice. The A's decide to make a trade with the Royals, not only getting Ryan Buchter, but reuniting with Brandon Moss as well. They lose Jesse Hahn and Heath Fehlmeyer. But what positives are you taking away from this trade?
A lot. I mean, this was such an A's trade. and I know that, you know, they were forthright in saying that, look, they made several offers to several free agents. Some free agents took more money elsewhere. Some free agents even took less money elsewhere. They just couldn't get anyone to come aboard. Unfortunately, I feel like that's a familiar storyline for the A's. But it allowed them ultimately to make a trade that makes a whole lot of sense. Ended up getting a real bargain in Ryan Buchter. He's under club control for several years, and I think he's kind of sneaky good. I mean, obviously not a household name, but I mean, they weren't just going to go out and get any lefty. I mean, this guy has really good numbers, good velocity, fastball guy, and I think he's going to be a significant addition to their bullpen. And their bullpen was already stronger with the additions of Emilio Pagan and Yusmeiro Petit, and I think Ryan just kind of completes that project. It was a big project going into the offseason, and really you have to like the way they went about things, because in an otherwise, I would say, eerily quiet offseason for a lot of teams, I mean, the A's pretty much checked all the boxes of things that they wanted to get done, whereas other teams, you know, are just kind of in waiting mode with all those free agents out there. So a very good deal for them, and really the guys that they lost, I mean, Jesse Hahn realistically wasn't going to make the team out of spring training. There's just too many guys fighting for rotation spots, and Jesse's out of options. So I think a win-win for both sides, because I think he'll have maybe a better opportunity to make the team in Kansas City, and hopefully he does. I think, I mean, I've been saying for a long time, I think a change of scenery could be really good for him. It was just kind of a rocky road with the A's after a good start. And Heath Fehlmeyer, that's just, you know, kind of trading from the abundance of depth that they have. So if you look at the big picture, I mean, the A's definitely did well in this trade.
And another thing, Jane, that they crossed off their list is the protective netting that all 30 teams have now pledged to increase in their respective parks after so many injuries have occurred over the last couple of years. So when A's fans come to the park this year, what can they expect to see?
Yeah, so there's going to be extended netting, and I believe they said that it is going to be the color green, so that it hopefully blends in with the grass. And the goal is, you know, they don't want to hinder the viewing experience for fans that are at the game, fans that are watching on TV, and I don't think it'll be that big of a deal as far as the viewing experience is concerned. I think, you know, obviously the most important thing is you know, to offer fans that great experience, but also making sure that they're safe. I mean, I think everyone agrees that there's been far too many incidents with injuries over the years. I mean, the A's were in Boston a few years ago when one of the fans was hit with a bat shard during a Brett Laurie at bat. And I remember just how awful that was, this woman being hit in the face. I mean, her son was with her. It was terrible. And, you know, you're seeing more and more of these things happen. And at the end of the day, I think everyone realized that it is preventable. And so for all these teams to, you know, team up and comply with just these new efforts to expand the netting, it's good to see. And I think the A's were one of the last ones that needed to do it. I believe the Rays ended up doing today. So that might be it for all 30 teams, which is very good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Great news for baseball in general and fans who, you know, today aren't really paying as much attention. They're on their phones and they're doing a million other things. So hopefully this will prevent any more future injuries. Those are pretty scary to see on TV and in person. So A-plus job for Major League Baseball there. All right, Jane, let's spotlight a shortstop, Marcus Semien. Just 27 years young, and he's entering his fourth season in Oakland. And ironically, he's the longest tenured player in the club. And you wrote about him. He's coming off an injury from last season. He's looking to get that full healthy year. So what can we expect from him? What are fans going to see in an improvement? And what kind of, you know, what kind of bar is being set for this guy this year?
Yeah, I think, this could be a big year for him. You know, obviously with the injury last year, the wrist injury, his season was shortened. He was kind of slow coming back. And not that he rushed his way back, but it is Marcus Semien, and he really wants to be out there every day. I know Bob Melvin always says that he is the hardest guy to tell when, you know, he has a day off just because he doesn't want those days off. So he expects a lot from himself, and obviously early on in his A's career, all those questions about his defense, and you know, they had Ron Washington come in and work with him, and he's improved so much defensively. So I think he just kind of wants to maintain that and continue to get better. I think we really haven't seen the best of him at shortstop, and I think he would say that too. And offensively, I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, he's 27, so he's just entering his prime. We've seen the power potential. 2 years ago, hit 27 homers, hit 15 in his first season with them. So a guy that can give you 20-plus homers and also has a speed factor. I know that the A's liked experimenting with him in the leadoff spot last year. He really liked it, too. And a lot of that had to do with the opportunities on the bases. So I think from him, you can expect, you know, maybe a 20-homer, 15 stolen base at the minimum. And I think he would be pretty happy. I know that he wants to continue to try to get on base more, something he did well during the second half last year. And I think you're going to see that that's just kind of a theme for this team in general. They relied so much on the home run last year. And I think everyone talked about it so much, but it was a major theme for them and something that they need to work on. Obviously, there are going to be a ton of homers again. I mean, that's just the way that this lineup is built. You know, between Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Chris Davis, Matt Joyce hit over 20 home runs last year. Semien obviously has the potential. Brandon Moss, if he somehow finds his way onto the roster, he's obviously a homer guy. So there's going to be a lot of homers. But they do have to offset that with, you know, when the power isn't there, they need to find different ways on base, different ways to score. And I know Semien personally wants to, you know, make sure he does his part. And so I think getting on base, drawing those walks is going to be a big part of his game.
Jane, how many home runs do you think they're going to hit in their new Kelly Green jerseys?
They're pretty snazzy, right?
Yes. I love them.
I know. I mean, I wish they could wear them more often. I think the plan is for them to wear them every Friday home game.
Okay.
So probably not as often as we would like. But yeah, it's just, I mean, you look at those and, I mean, in my opinion, you can't not like them. They kind of, you know, bring you back to those days in the 70s and those uniforms. And I mean, they just look so cool, and I'm really excited to see them I'm not sure who would do it, but maybe some guys with the high socks. I mean, there's a lot of potential to be had with these green uniforms.
Oh, I love it so much. I feel like there was a lot of moves made, but this may be my favorite off-season move by the Athletics. So hats off to them.
You know, and they arguably already had one of the better uniforms in the game. I think you just can't not like their uniforms in general, but this just adds a whole another dimension to it.
Oh, I totally agree. All right, Jane, listen, you are heading out soon. We're going to get the sights and the sounds from you. It's going to be basically like the season is here. So no rush. You know, don't stress too much. You've got a little time. But I know I'm excited to hear from you when you actually get to spring training, and fans will be as well, to get all those stories going. And if you still need your Athletics fix, you can go to athletics.com, and Jane will have you covered anything you need. With Jane Lee, I'm Danny Wexelman. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.